Control Board to certify the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Lake Tahoe Water Quality Management Plan pursuant to Clean Water Act Section 8. Begin with a staff report by Robert Larson.
Good morning, Chairman Pumphrey and members of the board. My name is Robert Larson. I'm a staff environmental scientist, and I've had the pleasure of working for the Water Board for the last 12 years or so on policy issues here at Lake Tahoe. As indicated, I'm here today to talk about Item 6, the Lake Tahoe Water Quality Management Plan. I promise that my presentation will be mercifully brief this morning. I'll talk a bit about the history of the Lake Tahoe Water Quality Management Plan, describe the amendment and certification process, and then offer a recommendation to the board. Looking first at what exactly is a 208 Water Quality Management Plan, Section 208 of the Clean Water Act outlines a general vision for area-wide, watershed-based water quality management planning. In essence, a 208 plan is a compilation of a variety of different plans, policies, and implementation measures that collectively address water quality issues in a given watershed. Here at Lake Tahoe, the 208 plan provides a broad umbrella over several watershed and land use management plans. The history of the 208 plan here at Lake Tahoe dates back to the early 70s. The Tahoe Regional Planning Agency was created in 1969 by a compact between the states of California and Nevada that established the bi-state agency responsible for environmental protection in the Tahoe region. A few years later, both states, California and Nevada, designated the TRPA as the agency responsible for Section 208 area-wide planning. After about 7 years of back-and-forth discussion and political wrangling, the first Section 208 Water Quality Management Plan for the Tahoe Basin was certified by both states in 1981. The current 208 plan was adopted by the TRPA in 1988 and certified by the State Water Board in 1989. Worth noting that the most current water quality management plan for the Lake Tahoe Basin is almost 25 years old. The 208 plan as it stands today is a 7-volume document. It includes a 350-page master plan, a 300-page BMP handbook, a couple hundred-page SEZ restoration volume, several hundred pages of technical appendices, a detailed and outdated capital project list, and a 30-page summary. The document includes the bulk of the previous TRPA regional plan and overlaps with our basin plan. This comprehensive compendium reflects the state of development pressures, land use and restoration planning, and the political climate of the late 1980s. In short, the existing 208 plan is a product of its time. Much has changed since then, and much time has passed, and the 208 plan is now inconsistent with the Lake Tahoe TMDL and the updated TRPA regional plan. Just a few words about the regional plan. In December 12th of last year, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Governing Board approved an updated TRPA regional plan. Water Board staff worked closely with TRPA staff to ensure that the updated plan and the associated code of ordinances was consistent with the Lake Tahoe TMDL and other established Water Board policies. I'm happy to say that the updated TRPA stormwater requirements echo those adopted by this board in 2010 as part of the Lake Tahoe TMDL Basin Plan Amendment. Specifically, the new language clarifies the application of numeric effluent limits and refers to the TMDL load reduction standards as the applicable standards for local government. The updated regional plan also includes an area plan concept that provides local government the opportunity to develop neighborhood or watershed-specific land use and water quality management plans. This affords our municipal partners the needed flexibility to align TMDL load reduction efforts with other area-specific planning needs. Most importantly, the regional plan maintains and enhances a commitment to environmental restoration. While the previous regional plan focused on development controls, the updated plan emphasizes the redevelopment and restoration of previously impacted lands. Now that we have some historical context and an understanding of the current planning landscape, let's talk a little bit about the updated 208 plan itself. As mentioned, the existing 208 plan is a product of its time. The amended plan is also a product of its time. With the development and approval of the Lake Tahoe TMDL and the regional plan update, the Lake Tahoe region has current land use and water quality policies that reflect the latest scientific information and environmental protection priorities. The amended 208 plan was explicitly crafted to align with these updated plans. The amended 208 plan eliminates redundancy and overlap by creating a streamlined framework that, despite having fewer pages, is more comprehensive. By incorporating the TMDL, the regional plan, the basin plan, the Lake Tahoe Basin Management Unit Forest Plan, and other applicable plans by reference, the amended 208 plan effectively outlines a water quality management structure that enhances the level of environmental protection while providing a cleaner, more understandable document. Lastly, the amended 208 plan defines the conditions under which the plan must be amended in the future. Unlike the current plan, minor adjustments to the TMDL, our basin plan, or the regional plan policies won't make the amended 208 plan obsolete. Significant changes to land use or other water quality regulations, however, could trigger the need for the states to revisit this plan. The next two slides generally summarize the 208 plan amendment process. TRPA staff, in coordination with the Water Board and the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, drafted the amended 208 plan. As part of the regional plan update package, the TRPA Governing Board adopted a resolution that forwarded that amended plan to the states of California and Nevada for certification. In Nevada, certification duties fall to the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, while in California, the State Water Board has that certification authority. It's worth noting that because the existing outdated 208 plan conflicts with the TRPA regional plan update, many of the important provisions of the updated regional plan, including that area plan concept, cannot be implemented until this amended 208 plan is certified by both states. The Nevada Division of Environmental Protection certified the amended 208 plan last month. The certification letter was included in your board packet. Water Board staff are now working with State Board staff to bring the item before the State Water Board for consideration. The resolution before you today is an important step in that process. While the resolution itself does not certify the amended 208 plan, it does provide a recommendation that the State Water Board do so, confirming that we at the Regional Board support the action. With that, I'd like to recommend that the Water Board adopt the resolution before you as proposed, and I'd be happy to answer any questions the Board might have.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I have no questions. Mr. Sandell?
I just have one comment, which is that this current version is impressively slim.
Yes.
Good work.
Thank you.
Mr. Diaz?
No comments or questions.
Mr. Jardine?
No comments or questions.
Is there anyone at the Rosamond meeting location who wishes to address the board on this item?
No, there is not.
Is there anyone at the South Lake Tahoe meeting location who wishes to address the board on this item?
Yes, Peter. There are two speaker cards, and I'd like to invite Laurel Ames to come up front, representing the Tahoe Area Sierra Club.
Thank you for doing the honors.
Peter, this is Jack Clark. I'm on the line now. I got messed up with our timing, and I had a hospital surgery with my mom, so I just got rid of them, and I'm on the line.
Jack, we are so happy to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Hey, Jack.
This is Clark. How you doing, Eric? Before Laurel started, I had just one quick comment for Chuck or somebody in the Tahoe staff. This update, will it help us in the future? I know we had that problem with the fish hatchery down there, below Mammoth. And is this going to clean up some of that? Because the receiving waters were real high, and then coming out the other side, it was a real problem.
Yeah,
and will this
hot treat.
Go ahead.
Hot
treat.
This is Chuck Curtis, supervising engineer. Our basin plan prohibition changes will not directly affect that issue regarding hot creek.
Primarily because of the scientific peer review.
Right, because that will take scientific peer review, and this set of basin plan amendments is one that includes only policy changes and corrections, that sort of thing. So regarding item 4, no, it would not.
Okay, that's no problem. I know we had a problem with that, and I just was hoping that maybe in the future we can figure out a way to make that to where it's not so problematic as it was.
Yes. Now we'll go to Laura.
Thank you. Thank you, all you people I can't see out there. excuse me. I'm Laurel Ames. I represent the Tahoe Area Sierra Club, and I think this is a very important decision you're making. You are in this process adopting 5,000 pages of a new regional plan, and from your board staff report, it just doesn't appear to explain to you the extent of the development permitted in the plan that you're about to endorse, and it doesn't explain how much is completely excluded from water quality management plan. And let me briefly tell you what led to these that state of affairs being excluded from the water quality management plan. SB 271 was passed by the state of Nevada that threatened to pull out of the TRPA compact unless certain conditions were met. It turned out to be a hammer on the state of California, and the state of California just sort of, well, in fact, the state of California caved. They were bludgeoned into agreeing to a number of bad decisions, and they did. And that is a different view of the regional plan than you read in the public relations papers from the TRPA. So you get this plan, it's a flawed plan that further impacts the ecosystem of this basin. You're being caught up in a plan that is not focused on water quality, but is focused on more development. I want to point out right here, the Tahoe Area Sierra Club supports redevelopment. There's a statement going around that we do. We always have. It's been in our statements for years, and we do. Redevelopment and new development are really quite different. So you have a right to know what you are adopting in terms of these exclusions. In Chapter 10, they're pretty astounding. One entire new ski area on raw land at 320 acres. That doesn't say that in the regional plan, but that's the intent. The attorney for the for that project was one of the negotiators, and he assured that we got that removed from water quality protection. It's in California. It's on the North Shore. I just want you to know. There are exceptions in that, and it's actually, if you want to see it, it's D, whatever, I'm on page 37, it's D2, excludes subject any reference or any definition of resort recreation, and resort recreation is the new ski area development zoning. They don't use zoning in this, but that's what it is. There's another part, which is 3, that is 2. There's no criteria for these coverage transfer limits across hydrologic zones, which is, at this point is prohibited, but will probably be amended shortly, but you won't know about it because it will just be one of those little small amendments. And in 5, it excludes new commercial area, and they distribute up to 100,000 square feet of commercial in these new area plans. But it excludes any water quality protections for those if they're not in area plans. I think that's important. I think that's serious. I think it needs to be looked at. We're asking you to table and postpone this decision. until you are satisfied that the exceptions to the water quality protections are fully understood by you as individuals and by the board. You have the time because the plan is now held up in a lawsuit and they are not on the fast track. They were, you were on the fast track or are to get this all out and to the EPA by March or April. That is entirely unnecessary at this point. And I think it's very important that you understand what's on. I'm not asking you to reject this. I'm not asking you to take a vote that says no. I'm asking you to postpone and table. And I want to point out one more thing that's in this Chapter 10. There's an appeal process that you have never seen before. And in the appeal process, if a citizen appeals one of these decisions in here, the entire burden of proof is on the citizen. And I'm sure bureaucrats like that, but citizens really don't. And it probably violates the First Amendment of the Constitution that a person has the right to appeal their grievances to the government. Well, my final request is that you be fully cognizant of the impacts of this decision and exactly what authority it takes away from this board. And those are my comments. Thank you very much. If you have questions, I'll be glad to respond.
Are there any questions by Mr. Sandel? I would very much like to hear staff reaction to the comments. It would be quite disturbing to hear that there are areas that are exempt from water quality requirements. I can't believe that that's actually true.
Well, read it.
I'd like to hear staff's opinion on this, please.
Mr. Sandel, I'll be happy to respond. This is, again, Bob Larson, staff environmental scientist. Contrary to what Ms. Ames is saying, the board is not adopting the regional plan. We are adopting a 208 plan that that references that regional plan, but we are not adopting that regional plan. With respect to the perception that somehow this board, the authorities of this board are somehow being limited by this 208 plan, I would, again, disagree with that statement, and that's water quality protections in the Tahoe Basin, particularly with relations to new developments, are well covered by the Lake Tahoe TMDL and the municipal MPDS permit that was adopted and amended by this board. We have significant regulatory authority over our local government partners regarding the type of development projects that they may choose to implement and how those projects may influence water quality, ultimate water quality at Lake Tahoe. So I don't necessarily agree with the statements as being presented. And with respect to the lawsuit, I also disagree with the notion that the regional plan is being held up. It is not. It is moving forward despite the litigation. And components of this 208 plan are necessary to keep projects moving forward and local government give local government the certainty they need to continue moving forward with several areas of their planning effort.
Robert, thanks. Does our staff attorney agree?
Yeah, I would just kind of clarify what what Bob was saying in terms of what we're approving here. So the 208 plan incorporates a number of plans, as Bob described. The code of ordinances that were also changed to reflect the regional plan can't go into effect if they're inconsistent with the 208 plan. So there are things that can't go into effect until we act on it. So they are related, but we don't have any influence to change the regional plan. It's already been adopted, and even if it wasn't we don't vote on that. But we do hold it up, or the state board holds it up, by its certification.
But
your recommendation.
There's no curtailment of regional water board authority.
No, there's not. There's not. It does not curtail our authority, the regional plan.
Okay. Thank you.
And I would just also make it clear that your action here today really doesn't to a certain extent, have any legal effect. I know that the state board would take into consideration if the regional board was not in support of the 208 plan certification, but what you're doing today is more form than substance. The state board could just take up the certification without the regional board's recommendation.
Right. Good point. Thank you.
Mr. Dias, no comments or questions. Mr. Clark?
No, Eric did a great job in answering those questions. That kind of was wrong. I was thinking about two, and he did super.
Mr. Jardine?
No comments at this time.
No comment or question from Bishop. Mr. Jardine, we have another speaker.
We actually have two more speakers now.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. I'll first ask Jennifer. I want
Washington.
Friends of the West Shore. Thank you.
All right. Good morning to members of the board in this room and those on the phone. My name is Jennifer Kwasnik, and I'm here today representing Friends of the West Shore. And I wanted to first follow up on statements, or reiterate statements made by the Sierra Club. First of all, Friends of the West Shore certainly does not oppose all development. We support appropriate redevelopment. And we also want to reiterate some of the concerns about things that were not pointed out in the staff report. And, in fact, some of the discussion about the code amendments that can't move forward until the Water Board adopts the 208 plan. I wanted to just reiterate what those are or clarify again some of the impacts of this decision. So I'll refer to a handout that was provided by KRPA to a code workshop on Monday night, Tuesday night, which identifies which amendments can or cannot move forward with adoption of the 208 plan. And I can certainly follow up with a copy. I'm sure Sean Marshall may have some with him. But to reiterate some of the things that this is going to affect, as Laurel mentioned, our regional plan establishes two new resort recreation areas, and the environmental impacts of these have not been analyzed. Through the Water Quality Plan, Chapter 10 amendments, this actually then establishes the Buildy 43rd area of roughly 320 acres, as Laurel mentioned, another ski resort, to be added in the next 4 years without review under the Water Quality Plan. Other parts of the code include the area plan content, which allows alternative development standards that have not been reviewed in the regional plan. In fact, many of them have not even been defined and no criteria established. This includes coverage management plans, alternative parking, area-wide water quality treatment systems, and alternative transfer ratios for stream restoration priority areas. So again, these are things that local jurisdictions can take over and develop, and these have not been analyzed under TRPA's regional plan. Additionally, transferred land coverage requirements. This will allow the concentration of development from areas further from the lake to many areas much closer to the lake. This is going to make it far more difficult to remove the pollutant load from the water and infiltrate it, which is the most proven method for doing so, between the urban areas and the lake, because now we have a much shorter distance. This actually, in some areas, will allow up to 100% coverage in those urban areas, based on the premise of transferring this from areas further away. And one thing I also want to know, in some of these transfer programs, we're talking about soft coverage, or what is being considered soft coverage from old forest roads that could be miles from the lake, that may or may not have an impact. We are not requiring somebody to go out first and monitor the infiltration, the hydrologic function, and the vegetative cover to make sure whether or not they're having an impact before the plan then allows somebody to transfer this closer to the lake and become hard coverage. There are also many coverage credits and exemptions that have not been, or the environmental impacts have not been analyzed by TRPA. This includes temporary structures, pervious coverage. There's a 25% credit being given for pervious coverage, but there's no evidence to show that this actually will provide a 25% reduction in impacts of the coverage. Pervious decks, non-motorized public trails, and other requirements related to BMPs. There are also changes to the excess coverage mitigation that will allow coverage mitigation to be permitted across hydrologically related area boundaries on more sensitive lands, and mitigation fees may now be used across these boundaries as well. However, again, the impacts of these have not been analyzed. One thing we pointed out quite a bit were references to the Tahoe Environmental Research Center's State of the Lake report, where they discussed the localized impacts of pollution on the lake. And the point being, we can't look at the lake as one big bowl. Where water enters the lake is having an impact. However, the regional plan treats it as if everything, it doesn't matter where it goes into the lake. So again, I want to reiterate the comments by Laurel and the Sierra Club and express our concern about these code amendments and that they have not been analyzed by TRPA. Therefore, if the water quality plan allows them, they have essentially not been analyzed for impacts. Thank you, and I'd be glad to answer any questions as well.
Thank you very much for your comments. Mr. Sandell, questions or comments?
I don't really have a question. It seems to me that the fundamental argument here, and I think I understand it, is really best taken up with the State Water Resources Control Board, not with us.
Mr. Diaz, questions or comments?
I'd be interested in hearing our staff response to these public comments.
Thank you again for the opportunity to address the board. Bob Larson, staff environmental scientist. I think a lot of the concerns that are being expressed by the Friends of West Shore and Sierra Club have to do with a lot of what-ifs related to development in the Tahoe Basin. And the impression that these things weren't considered, I think, is disingenuous in that it doesn't acknowledge the extensive environmental impact analysis that was conducted as part of the regional plan. Independent of that, Water Board staff have been involved in the regional plan update process for many years, and all of the coverage exemptions and other items that Ms. Kwasniak identified were considered by me personally in relation to the Lake Tahoe TMDL and how those things might impact water quality in the context of the TMDL. As you may remember, we did some pretty extensive analysis associated with the TMDL, identifying the potential impact of a worst-case build-out scenario. The maximum allowable development and coverage associated with the regional plan is far less than that worst-case development scenario that we analyzed. So we're quite confident that the development changes that are being proposed by the regional plan are well within the scope of what we looked at from a TMDL perspective, and are confident that those development impacts can be mitigated to a degree that will not impact water quality in the region. So again, this regional plan was a long time coming and has broad support from a variety of different stakeholders, and wasn't taken lightly by the TRPA or our staff as well. We've been involved in this in a long time and feel quite comfortable with the regional plan, and don't bring this 208 plan to you lightly. We're aware of what we of the implications of this, and again, have spent a long time looking at these potential impacts, and are comfortable with the path moving forward.
If I could just ask a follow up, assuming that the State Water Resources Control Board were to certify the 208 plan, since it's not us that actually does that, gives that approval, is that in fact tantamount to a blanket approval for all of the possible projects or actions that were raised by the public comments? Would they then be subject to no further review?
That's a fantastic question and a good point in that. The 208 plan is approving the policy that sets the stage for consideration of various projects. The TRPA governing board obviously has the authority to consider various development efforts. This board has the authority to consider various projects and their potential impact on the environment. Any project that moves forward in the state of California obviously has to go through the CEQA process to evaluate potential impacts. This is not a blanket agreement to allow anything, frankly. It is a planning framework to move the Tahoe Basin forward into the future. I think I want to address another point. Both commenters have raised this extra ski resort that is being supposedly allowed by the 208 plan. The 208 plan does not allow an extra ski resort or an extra 300 acres of resort development per se. What it does is it allows it to be considered by both this board and the TRPA governing board without requiring a recertification of the 208 plan. Much of what you see in the 208 plan is intended to deal with a lot of procedural hurdles that that have complicated the consistency between our basin plan, the TRPA regional plan, and the 208 plan. Every time the TRPA changes its regional plan, every time we make a basin plan amendment, right now there are multiple areas within our basin plan that are inconsistent with the 208 plan. To avoid that type of inconsistency in the future, we're trying to eliminate that potential in the future. So the Chapter 10 that was referenced simply identifies those areas where we may need to revisit the 208 plan under certain conditions, but there are conditions where we don't. And as part of the negotiations between the states of California, Nevada, and TRPA, it was agreed that if within 4 years an additional resort recreation designation would move forward, that it would not require a recertification of the 208 plan. Again, this isn't a blanket agreement that will happen. It is that does require a certification of the 208 plan. It is still subject to CEQA review of this board if it so chooses, and review by the TRPA governing board, and that would require a regional plan update. So there's significant review process for any development or any action moving forward. This 208 plan agreement and certification does not grant any particular project or development action to happen.
Thank you. Mr. Diaz, any further follow-up?
No, thank you very much.
Mr. Clark?
No, that was a good explanation. Thank you.
Mr. Jardine?
No questions.
I have nothing further. Another speaker?
Yes. Steve? Tashara? With the Sustainable Community Advocates.
That's correct. Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the board, staff, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Tashara, for the record. My company is Sustainable Community Advocates, headquartered in Zephyr Cove, Nevada, here at Lake Tahoe. I wanted to commend your staff. I think their staff report clearly underscored that the existing 208 plan for Tahoe needs amendments. I think the amendments are before you to consider moving forward to the state board. I believe that a record can be made that there will be significant harm and damages on the lake, the environment here in our communities, if the regional plan package approved by the TRPA governing board on December 12th of last year and the Tahoe 208 plan before you today that we ask you to move forward to the state board are not allowed to be implemented in a timely manner. They must be. So I urge your board to recommend the 208 plan forward to the state water board. It's ready to go, and its implementation in a timely fashion is necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, comments from Mr. Sandell?
No, none, thanks.
Mr. Diaz?
None, thank you.
Mr. Clark?
No.
Mr. Jardine?
No.
None for myself. Is there anyone else at the South Lake Tahoe meeting location who wishes to address the board on this item?
We have one more comment card coming up.
Okay.
John Marshall, attorney for TRPA.
Thank you. John Marshall, the general counsel for the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. I'd first like to just thank the regional board for consideration of this recommendation. We believe it would go a long way to help the state board in their consideration to have a positive recommendation from the regional board. I think Bob's characterization of this as a kind of bringing the 208 plan into the current century is probably a very apt description of what we are trying to accomplish here. So I'll let those descriptions of what the current 208 plan, the seven-volume monster, is and what we're trying to move it into, which is this general framework planning document, which really reflects what the 208 the section of 208 of the Clean Water Act was intended to do. I'd like to spend a little time just addressing some of the comments by the Sierra Club and the Friends of West Shore. First, on the litigation. The litigation has been filed. It has not been served against TRPA, and it is not in any way stop implementation of the regional plan and all the efforts of the local communities to update their plans to move environmental redevelopment forward. And that's key because that is our next big step in environmental improvement here at the Tahoe Basin. We have lots of VIP projects going forward based on public dollars, but what we really need is private investment to redo the current infrastructure and current buildings, which are leading to significant sources of pollution. And the incentives and the flexibility that are inherent in our area planning concepts are what will enable local jurisdictions and hopefully local developers and additional dollars, private dollars, to come in and do the work necessary to upgrade private properties to improve our performance with the TMDL requirements and generally improving water quality in the basin. Now, let's step back for a minute and talk about the intense amount of environmental assessment and analysis that has gone into these policies. Notwithstanding, I generally think they're good intent. The Sierra Club and Friends of West Shore are just dead wrong when they say that these things have not been analyzed, reanalyzed, and comments responded to. I did not wheel in the carts of documents and EISs and responses to comments that we've done exactly on these topics, but suffice it to say that every single one of the items that they've raised have been exhaustively analyzed for impacts. In particular, all of the coverage and area plan questions that were raised, the resort recreation designations, and but more importantly, I want to step back for a minute and talk about, just for a second, the area planning concept, because those are key documents for the local jurisdictions to do, and they are also subject, again, to environmental analysis. So anything that they propose that is within the ambit of the regional plan, at first it has to be within the ambit of the regional plan, if they are proposing any standard that anyone has a question with, they have to do the appropriate environmental analysis to demonstrate that they've met the standard of the regional plan, which is equal to or better environmental protection, including all water quality objectives. So it is just simply untrue to say that there is a weakening of standards in this plan. With that, I think I'll just leave it to the regional board. If you have any questions of me about the litigation or about the regional plan update or about our environmental documentation, I've probably spent too much time in the last couple of years going over those documents, and with the litigation, we'll probably be doing it again. But notwithstanding that, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Peter?
Question or comment by Mr. Sandell?
No, none.
Mr. Dias?
None.
Mr. Clark?
No.
Mr. Jardine?
None.
None from me. Mr. Jardine, any other
Thank
person
you.
At the South Lake Tahoe meeting location who wishes to address the board?
Yes, Chairman Comfort, this is Patty Kuyumjian. I would just like to point out for the board's consideration a minor technical amendment to the resolution, and that would be a suggestion that on the last page of the resolution, date stamp 6-62, that we correctly reference the board date as February 14th and not February 13th.
Okay. Anyone else from the board have any questions or comments? An action item requires a motion.
This is Keith. I'll make a motion. We approve the resolution.
And I'll second that.
Does that include the technical change that you'd like?
Yes, I'm sorry. I would like the change mentioned by Patty to be incorporated.
It's been moved.
I agree with that.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any comments, questions? Roll call vote. Mr. Sandell?
Yes.
Mr. Diaz?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Jardine?
Yes.
And aye. Say aye. Aye. Okay. Our next item of business is item 7.